Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, beautiful people, to the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe lesser values than love devolve into, slide into the rabbit hole of BS. BS as in bait and switch. We all are in need of being loved, but more importantly, we are all of us in need of being lovers. Lovers of our neighbor, lovers of our enemies, lovers of all that are around us, everything that is in us, through us, everything that is seen with our eyes, heard with our ears, touched with our hands, it is all worthy of the project of love. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, the project of love. But before we get into the subject matter for the day, let me introduce the broadcast for those that may have never been here before, and welcome if that's you. But also for all of our faithful listeners, and I know there are many out there, I just want to review again what we do here. We are here to unpack all of the virtues and beauty of love. I'm convinced we do a lot of talking about love. We do a lot of singing about love. We do a lot of poetry about love. We do a lot about love, but we don't do enough study, real research of what love is all about. So that's why I'm going to go through today one more time after 4 years of doing this. I want to talk to you about this school of love, this project of love, to dive into the deep end of love, to become people of love. And I'm going to go through it looks to me like I got about 15, 16 points to talk to you about if I got it all in for time. But we do a couple of things regularly here to just keep a foundation and an understanding to stand upon. And that is, first of all, I start with Love's Creed, a creed that I wrote about a decade ago as a New Year's resolution for myself. I wrote it not thinking it would ever become something I would do publicly or in a venue like this, but it became so useful and practical to me that I decided I'm going to hang on to that. That really matters on so many levels for me and for others that I introduced it to. So let me introduce it to you here today. I'll read it in total first. Then I want to come back and I'll read it to you like a minister would at the wedding altar, where I'll ask you to say after me as it would be in vows. All right. So here it is in total. And then we'll go back and repeat it as wedding vows. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. That's Love's Creed. If you would like a copy of that, you can write me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's randydeanministries, all one word, all lowercase, @gmail.com. Request a copy of Love's Creed, and I'll be happy to send you a copy for your ongoing life growth and pleasure. Now, let's go back through it like I would with vows. I'll repeat the phrases, and then have you repeat after me. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Well, there you have it. That's Love's Creed. It works. If you have that ready in a form on your phone or your iPad or your computer or maybe handwritten on a 3x5 card, put it on your sun visor in your car or on the mirror of your bathroom while you're shaving or putting on your makeup. I think it'd be valuable to just keep in mind day by day, because you'll face challenges, won't you? And that's what I want to talk to you about, this project of love, this grand adventure of love and what it requires of us. But you're going to need this kind of verbiage, this kind of toolbox for love in your mindset going forward, because life never, never, never is predictable. Every day is unique and profound, and we will be called upon to be lovers. So this project of love, this adventure of love, this toolbox of love, I'm reaching for a good catchphrase for today, but I hope you get my point. We're in need of steps toward. We're in need of handles on. We're in need of being able to put our hands around this. A friend of mine used to say, I like to take a hold of a thought or a proposal and just hold it in my hands a while. I want to roll it around in my hand like I would a smooth stone and just feel of its weight and feel of its texture for a while before I make a decision on any given project. Well, that's what we should do with love. Have it where we can hold it and just grasp the concept, grasp the ideas, grasp the notions of what it's going to require of me to genuinely be a loving human being. You might call it a curriculum. You might call it a journal or a diary of love. Whatever you call it something and get after it, right? So I've got, like I said, I've got about 15 or so bullet points here that I want to go through kind of in a rapid fire here with you, because I just think that all of us are struggling with the idea of love, whether we know we're struggling with it or not. So here's what it's going to require of us. I think it requires of us that we are readily aware that love is in our DNA. It's the image of God in us. We're made in the image of God. That as we live this life, we're seeing life in some form or another through divine purposes. And the greatest divine purpose of all is love. 1 John chapter 4 says, God is love. God doesn't just love. God doesn't wake up in the morning. Of course, God never sleeps. But if God were to sleep and wake up, God doesn't get up and decide, today I think I will do love. That's not the character of God. God's character is love. So when God created humans, God said, let us make them in our likeness and image. That likeness is love. So to remember that day by day by day, I'm made in the image of God, and that image is love. And then we need to recognize that between the ages of 0 and 4, our formative years, I heard a Catholic nun say one time that every child has a script written in their mind in those first 4 years, a script of how I am loved, how I'm not loved, how I'm cared for, how I'm not cared for, how my cries matter or how my cries don't matter. You get what I'm saying, right? That when those 4 years are somehow we're somehow robbed of the qualities of love on some level, and I think every one of us could say that we've all been robbed in some degree, some very lesser degrees, but some greater degrees through terrible abuse or just by the simplicity of life that most all humans go through. A mom and a dad might be sick when a baby is crying for help in the middle of the night, and that cry may go on a very long time, and that baby starts to register in their little bright baby mind that in their curriculum, it takes a while to get folks' attention. So that reality, that remembrance on our part, that recall for ourselves to say, you know, I'm carrying some kind of early childhood curriculum here, and it may help me and it may not help me. So just be aware of that. And then you might want to see a counselor. I call it, and others do too. Get a checkup from the neck up. I go to my primary care doctor for a physical. I try it once a year, if not twice. If something's really bothering me, I go more than that. But my point is, Why wouldn't we do that with a counselor? Just somebody who can talk us through who we are, how we feel, how life is treating us, and how we're treating life. And to that end, you'll discover some things. I am convinced of it. I've done it myself. You will discover something about yourself you may not have been readily aware of. So then, as we go through life, we recognize that we have all experienced wounded love. There's none of us exempt from that. All of us have had some form of our love wounded, bruised, beaten, rejected, thrown to the side, treated as if it was yesterday's trash. You get my point, right? We've all been there. We've all come away from trying to love, being love, and then coming back and saying, wow, that hurt. So first of all, don't see yourself as a unique bundle of pain in this, but see yourself in the collective of the human experience where love has not always been well treated. You'll do yourself a great favor by putting that into your meditation. I'm not the only one who's had a real love mistreated. I'm not saying you should just ignore that in terms of, well, okay, I'm not the only one, never mind. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is mind it and mind the fact that so many of the problems we experience in this life, we're dealing not only with our love woundedness, but we're dealing with the love woundedness of others all around us. So what would you do if you got wounded physically? If you had a broken arm, a twisted knee, whatever it might be, well, then you're going to get into some physical rehabilitation. Well, the same is true emotionally. Get into some kind of love rehabilitation for your own sake and for the sake of others. Rehabilitate your love. Work that love muscle again and be determined, I will love again. And then journal. Talk to a good friend, talk to a counselor, talk to your pastor, but talk with somebody about how your love's been wounded, and then how can I rehabilitate that love? How can I bring it back better than before? And let my awareness of how I got wounded be not something that keeps me from loving, but it's an awareness of how to be a smarter, wiser human being going forward. So, get into some kind of, I call it love rehabilitation. And that's going to require some vulnerability on your part to just show up with somebody, have a cup of coffee, and talk it out and work it out over time and give yourself plenty of time. Then be courageous about it. The next thing is just be brave enough to say this is going to take time. Don't rush your rehabilitation. Don't rush yourself into another relationship. Oh, boy. I feel all my pastoral instincts rising all of a sudden here because I cannot tell you how many folks I've counseled over my 50 years of pastoral work that I've said when they've had a divorce or a nasty split between them, a spouse, or even a friend, I've said, be careful. Don't go rushing back into another relationship too quickly. Give yourself time to breathe. Give yourself time. Later here, I'll talk about a love sabbatical. But just give yourself time to heal before you go into another relationship requiring of you vulnerability and accessibility, because you may not be ready. In all likelihood, you won't be ready. I say, give yourself permission to just be on your own a while if you've been divorced or split, or you've lost a friend to some degree, and grieve that loss. Be willing to cry through that loss. It's okay to cry about it. I say regularly, I say it here often, as long as you're crying, you're grieving. And as long as you're grieving, you're healing. So stay with the healing process of your tears, because you're grieving a loss. And it's perfectly fine to take your time with that. Don't let anybody tell you how long it takes to grieve anything, especially a physical death in your life. Don't let anybody tell you, oh, you've cried long enough. Don't let those words BS you, bait and switch you. Don't let anybody be your conscience for your grieving process. And yes, be accountable to someone, but not a whole bunch of someones. Just be accountable to someone. And I said just a few moments ago, I would talk about a Sabbath of love, to just be in a sense of settledness about your love. A Sabbath of love looks to me like you've reached a point in your love rehabilitation that, okay, I'm going to Sabbath this. I'm going to let myself just soak in the mindset that I can love, that I am lovable, and I am capable of loving. I'm capable of being a good, loving human being. But that's a Sabbath. Don't put yourself right away after a woundedness and then rehabilitation. Don't put yourself right back into the strict rigors of a demand of a strong relationship. Take a Sabbath. Put it on your calendar. It's a Sabbath for love right now. We're just chilling out. We're peacing out. We're just going to take time. And out of that Sabbath, when you reach a point where you can sense that God is saying to you, child, you're ready. You're ready now. Step into a new friendship. Step into a new relationship. Step into a new connection to your son or your daughter. Go ahead. Step into a better connection with your spouse or your significant other. Just listen for the sweet voice of what Alcoholics Anonymous call a higher power. I simply call God. God, my divine entrepreneur, has this wisdom that is accessible to me if I will Sabbath myself on a regular basis, which is to say, quiet myself, be still, and know that I am God, and know that in God's great wisdom, that wisdom is not just up in heaven somewhere where God creates a space to hide. No, that wisdom is boiling and bubbling and beautifully rolling around the skies of heaven, waiting for somebody to request, God, I need wisdom. First chapter of the book of James in the New Testament says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let them ask of God, and God will not withhold it. God will not be cheesy and cheap about it. God will pour wisdom to those who ask. And then recognize that that's going to take your availability to hear from God. Then the next part about this whole toolbox and project of love is take the long-term view of love for yourself. I mean, recognize that love is a lifetime pursuit. Love is not a sprint. It's a marathon. I say that here very often. If you've joined me here before, you know that's what I say. So whenever I, as a pastor, and I've preached on love, and people have come to me later and said, well, you talk all big and bad. You preach a great sermon on love, but you didn't love me. That used to get under my skin, but I've learned to just be vulnerable about it and say, you're probably right. I may not have loved you well. I'm sorry. I'll do better. That disarms your accuser, doesn't it? But it also arms you with the truth that love is not a once-for-all arrival. It's not. I just went through a couple of airports recently, and you get on the tram to go from one place to the next, and the electronic voice comes on the PA system in the tram and says, next stop, and then they tell you when it is. You have to remember, love's like that. Love will speak into your head and say, next stop is, and then simply give yourself permission to keep going on the tram to the exit you're looking for, or get off and walk. All of that is to say, love is a journey. Love's going to take time. It's going to require of you patience with yourself, that you have a life to learn this. In this lifetime, you will learn more about you than you will others. And as you learn about you, you will truly learn about others. Another point of reference here in your toolbox of love is listen to your internal dialogue. You know what that is, right? All of us are talking to ourselves 24/7. Even our dreams are a conversation back to ourself. We're always in some kind of internal dialogue. That internal dialogue that says, "Oh gosh, I'm so dumb. I'm so forgetful. I'm so weak. I'm so incapable." You know, that litany of negatives that just occupy our internal space. I want to recommend to you that you change that. Get a different dial on that radio and change the dial. Get a different station in there. And of course, we're all going to have our moments when we say, oh, that was dumb. But let's not make moments into a movement. Let's turn the dial and after you've done a dumb thing, and you'll do a dumb thing. I've done a few dumb things already this morning, and it's just 9 o'clock. But after you've done a dumb thing, turn the dial to another level. Remind yourself, I'm capable of doing smarter things. I'm capable of doing wise things. I'm capable of taking the pause and reflecting on what mistakes I've made so that I can make a better choice the next time. I found out about my mistakes. It just flies through my head here. I never set out to make a mistake. I never, on my list of to-dos for the day, I never put on my to-do list, make a mistake. I do on my to-do list, tell myself, remind myself what I'm going to do. And then some of those things that I was going to do or that I did get done turn out to be a mistake. I didn't make the mistake on purpose. I simply arrived at a mistake. Now, what do you do with that internally? I'm talking about your internal dialogue. Is remind yourself, that wasn't my plan to, quote, make a mistake. My plan was to make a success, and I fell short. Now, what do we do next? And the last thing to do about doing next is not to beat yourself up. All right, last but not least in this toolbox and project of love is simply to be aware of what I just talked about. Only take it another step. Self-love. Self-care. When you're tired, take a break. When you're sleepy, get some sleep. This is not magic. This is not science. This is really good, sound logic. I'm convinced that 21st century culture is on a wild ride, too fast, too much, every day. Brené Brown, a great sociologist, researcher on vulnerability, has said that we end up in this culture of lack because we lacked sleep, because we were too preoccupied with our projects for the next day. Our brain was on. We couldn't sleep. We get up in the morning and we didn't get enough sleep. There's lack there. I didn't get everything done yesterday I wanted done, so I had to lay there in the bed and think about it. So then I wake up in the morning feeling tired because I didn't get enough sleep, and now I'm overwhelmed because I've got yesterday's jobs and today's jobs to do. You get the point? Let's practice self-love and self-care. Self-care, self-love isn't selfish. In fact, it's the most unselfish thing you can do, to be your best self for the people who count on you, for the people who love you, for the people who want to be loved by you. Self-love, self-care is those moments that matter in your everyday routines. You know, get up in the morning, give yourself a little extra time so you can enjoy that cup of coffee rather than slugging it down so you got a caffeine jolt to get going. How do I know about that? I've done way too much of it myself. I simply challenge you to be a self-loving, self-caring human being, to get the rest you need, the nutrition you need, the exercise you need, so that you are capable. You're a fully well-equipped, loving human being. Well, there you have it for today. I've been kind of all over the world. I told you I'd go through about 15 points, and I did. I think I may have added a couple of sub-points in there. But I'm here every week on the Alive to Love, No BS Bishop radio broadcast, because I'm convinced we are on this earth to love. The theologians aren't going to tell you how to live, but lovers will. I'm a bit of a theologian, but I'm going to tell you, I'll take loving over all my theology any day of the week. In fact, Paul says, if I know everything and I could speak to the mountain and have the mountain move, but I have not love, it is nothing. Let's get that clear, shall we? It's nothing if I have all the doctrine and theology in the world down, but I'm not a lover. So let's practice self-care. On the count of three, I want you to take a good deep breath, hold it to the base of your lung, and then exhale gently. One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it there. And exhale. That's a little bit of a Sabbath, too. Slows your mind down, slows your body down, and it teaches you to pay attention to the rhythms of your breath. We can't live without breathing, and we can't live without loving. Those two things are hand in hand, which leads me to my next recommendation of self-care. Tell somebody you love them. The three most holy, powerful, magical, charmed words in the human language are these words: I love you. Do it with eye contact. Do it with that kind of cadence. Slow it down so it's really well thought through and really well received. Startle somebody. Make their day. Make your own day, because it is so powerful to hear yourself and to see yourself connecting to another human being. My wife and I do this almost every day. Some days we miss. I was just out of town, so we didn't get those three magical words in like we always like to. But every day that we're together, we try to look each other in the eye with a slow cadence that says, I love you. You know, even our little dog Dixie knows when we're doing it. She knows this is coming. Mom and Dad are going to look each other in the eye and say those three charmed words. And she knows to watch us close. So give yourself that joy. Give yourself that artistic expression of three words, looking somebody in the eye. I'm so glad you were here today. I really am. I'm honored that you would give me a half an hour of your life and time. For the No BS Bishop, I'm alive to love. All lesser values devolve into BS, so that if we will rise to love, we're not living a bait and switch life. We're living an authentic life. We're living a life with a direct, straight aim. And that aim is love, ladies and gentlemen. So rise and shine and be that person of love. Get out there in this tumultuous, chaotic world full of pain, full of rancor and hate, and be one bright shining light with a candle bigger than just the average candle you put on a table for a nice romantic dinner. Rise and shine with a candle of light that says, I'm alive to love. Now go out there and do something beautiful, because ugly, ugly has been done to death. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.